courts I will enter, maker of heaven and earth, I tremble in your holy presence. Glory, glory in your sanctuary, splendor and majesty, Lord, before you all lies.
Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high on a rock.
Would you please stand? Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. All hail the power of Jesus' name. All hail the power of Jesus.
Listening to Bob today. You are seated. That's good. And welcome to Harbor of Joy. If you're new here, a great welcome, a wonderful welcome, a warm welcome to you as you come and share with us today. And we're glad that you've come to worship the Lord with us as well. Give you a little Moses update. We have to go back to court, immigration court in the cities next month because there was a little glitch that came up. And it's not that he wants to become a American citizen. It's he just needs to get a green card And then that allows him to go back to Nigeria and to come back to the U.S. if he wants to. And so we don't know what's going to happen there, but one of the things, if you don't have a picture of him, I wish Sharon's not here because she's with her sister that had shoulder surgery in Wisconsin. So but if we could, we'd put a picture of Moses up on the screen so you could see that those that are in tribes, like in Africa, on their faces, they have scars. And the scars identify them as far as what tribe they're with. Moses has one. Well, he has one on each cheek that goes straight down. It tells everybody in Nigeria he's Hausa. That's the name of his tribe. No matter where he goes, he'll be seen as a Hausa, the tribe from Hausa. And that's his native tongue. Now, he's got a government lawyer who's trying to get him to go back to Nigeria. And that's kind of why we have to go back, because there's a little glitch that just stopped the proceedings. He is testifying for himself. I had to leave the courtroom because I will come and testify after he's done. So guess what my day was like? Sitting in a waiting room for over 3.5 hours, waiting for him to be done. It never got done. We have to go back on the 17th of October to hopefully finalize this. So that's kind of where things are at there. We went to, I don't know if they were the federal building, it's called Bishop Henry Whipple Federal Building, right by the airport. That's where this all takes place. You have to go through security to get in there. And it's just like being at the airport. So Moses is a guy that came when we lived in Dickinson, North Dakota. He just showed up on the sidewalk one Sunday morning because he pleaded for asylum when he crossed Tijuana. He came over the correct way. And he ended up in Dickinson, North Dakota. He came to church there, sitting on the sidewalk, because he would not go indoors unless he was invited to come in. But he was saying it was very strange, because he saw all the cars there, but he couldn't hear anything happening inside. And in Africa, you hear drums and dancing and yahoos and all kinds of different things. But in America, he's going like, cars are here, but the people must be gone. Look, you couldn't hear anything. He left on his bicycle, and he came back the following Sunday, and the same thing. The cars were there. The church was quiet. He sat on the sidewalk. And then we had a lady who had a young infant in her arms, and she was out in the back, and she looked outside and saw him sitting on the sidewalk, and she opened the door and said, "Can I help you?" And he goes, I thought there was church here. And I've just been waiting to be invited in. So she invited him in, and that's kind of where it all started. I didn't know he was there. Someone after church came up to me and said, "Hey, we have somebody here who's a Muslim who said he wants to become a Christian. Is there any kind of literature we can give him?" And I'm going like, "Yeah, right. We have all kinds of literature," because that happens every Sunday, you know? Didn't do that. But anyway, I did talk to him. I listened to his story. It's a terrible, terrible story. And this is a miracle that he ended up in Dickinson, North Dakota, of all places, from Bama, Nigeria, is the name of his town. And the Boko Haram, which is a military Islamic group, a terrorist group, came into that town and started burning it down and killing people. And Moses was out with his dad in the field, a garden, and they saw the smoke, and they ran back to see if his mother was okay. When he got back, his house was on fire, his mom was in the backyard, and she was dead. And all he could do was hold his dead mother. And from there, everything went to pieces, and his life has been changed ever since. He still does not know if any of his family is alive. He's working in the oil field in western North Dakota, Montana, Wyoming, sometimes goes out to Utah. And so he said he's doing okay. I want to thank those of you that gave different things to Moses. You know, you gave them to me to give to Moses, and I tried to do that. And you know what the guy did? He said, "I'm okay." And he said, In my culture, whenever someone is doing okay, give it to someone else who is in need. That's the kind of guy he is. And so there's a lot more I can say about him, but I won't. He's just a great guy. He should be allowed to stay in the U.S. And he's got a job. He pays taxes, I think, and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, we will meet again. That's a good side of things. So, all right. Well, go back to the bulletin. I think if you got more questions, I can talk to you later about Moses. I want to get to the bulletin here just to let you know that today is a special day. We have a church picnic. Depending upon, well, it'd be a church picnic regardless. But we're going to meet out at Terry and Ross Dirks this afternoon from 3 to 5. If the weather changes where it's going to be raining, we'll meet here back in the fellowship hall. We will still meet today. Just so that it's not going to rain. All right. Remember, you heard that here. It's not going to rain. So that'll take place today. And you're invited. They're going to provide the meat, I believe, and just asking people to bring the side dish that will go along with whatever they're serving. If you want to really know what they're serving, there's Terry and Ross. You can talk to them of saying, what are you having? So, what's that?
Talk to me, not him.
Okay, talk to Ross. All right. But that'll be today. Dean has called me and said that, you know, they're still in need of one golf cart if we meet out at their place. We'd like to have two golf carts to give rides to people from where you park to where you're going to go and be seated. You need someone to help load chairs and tables after church if it works. And if it won't work this morning, we'll do it before here at the church and take them out there like an hour before it all begins. So if you want to help with that, see Dean. Dean, are you here? He's right back there. I am so surprised you're here. So talk to Dean if you want to help him and ask him what he wants to do. That's his baby. Okay? I just want you to know that this Wednesday the women have a luncheon at, is it McQueen's? McKean's?
Mm-hmm.
That's in Spirit Lake. And they're meeting there at 11:30. If you don't know where it's at, talk to Barb Rolfe and one of the other board members. I think Cheryl, are you part of the board member as well, the committee that does that? Cheryl Meyer as well. So they're meeting at McKean's. And if you haven't signed up, just sign up so they can know how many they can tell them that are coming. That's the main thing for the sign up. And I hope you enjoy your time there together. There's a lot of other things listed in the bulletin Wednesday. I mean, we had Joy Kids started last Wednesday after school, and there you can see there that, how many was there that helped? There was 30 kids that showed up, and we had 19 volunteers from the church. I think that's really good. We had that many people helping out. And then we're starting confirmation, seventh grade confirmation will be starting now this Wednesday at 5:20. Why 5:20? Because Okoboji schools have sports practice after school till 5 o'clock, and so they can go from there. I don't know how they can shower and get here, but you know, seventh grade probably don't shower. I don't know. But at any rate, whatever time you get here, we'll look forward to seeing you. Seventh graders will start confirmation. I'll talk to you all what that all means and what it's about. Some of them don't know what it's about, why it's so important and those kind of things, but I'll talk about that on this Wednesday. And so with that, please read your bulletin. I just want to make one more announcement. It costs $10 this year for Operation Christmas Child to send a box. Just want you to know that. Dean has challenged the church. I'm speaking for Dean now. Dean says, we think that we can do better than 100 boxes. At least we want to get up to 100 boxes to send to Samaritan's Purse to give these boxes that have got different things with them for kids. You have the bulletin in the back of your bulletin there. Gives you the ages. I'm looking for boys and girls. If you want to fill up a shoebox, bring it. You see what's back here on the table, or Go out in Walmart or wherever you want to buy your stuff and fill up your box and bring it here by the end of October, and it will be taken to where there will be a distribution place, wherever that is. We want to thank Carol Banta for doing this over the years. Carol, thank you so much. You did a great job Wednesday night in explaining it and what goes in those boxes, and really appreciate that. And thank you for bringing up the challenge of Dean here, you know.
So. I just want to say there's some more suggestion sheets on the table in the fellowship room at the back, along with other items you may take to start or finish filling your own box.
Yeah, yeah. If you got any questions, just give Carol a call or talk to her. Mm-hmm. That'd be great. Really appreciate that. All right, that's all I'm going to say here today, but let's have a word of prayer, and I'll turn it, no, then I go into the responsive reading, don't I? Heavenly Father, we thank you for everyone that is here today. Lord, we pray for Moses, we pray for the lawyers, we pray for the judge, we pray that you would provide a way for him as he humbly and even with fear in his eyes, sometimes wondering what's going on, he just doesn't understand some of the ways that things work here in America, and he still thinks a lot like he's living in Nigeria. And I have to kind of keep reminding him, Lord, Moses, you're not in Nigeria. You're in America. This is the way things are done in America. You eat with a fork and a spoon. You do not eat with your hands. Simple little things. And that's just the way we are. And so we thank you for everyone that is here today. We pray for the picnic and those that are planning on coming. And if those that can't come, make it known that they'd love to go, but they need a ride. Lord, may there be someone that would be available to do that. And we just pray for a great time to be together as a church family. And thank you for CJ and providing the music for us this afternoon as he will play his guitar and sing songs that will make our feet tap along with him. And so, Lord, most of all, we're just thankful for you, that you are here with us this morning. You know every heart, you know every need that is here today. If it is spoken or unspoken, you know what it is. And may we always come to you and lay it at the foot of the cross. And may we just say, Lord, I just need your help. And your word says that if there's ever any trouble in my life, I'm to come to you. We do that. And we have others sometimes, Lord, that pray for us on our behalf, which we're thankful for. So be with our drummer, Patty Griffiths, as she had her knee replaced this past week. And they sent her home the same day. And so we just help her to heal. May the pain not become too much for her to bear. Help her to keep in front of that pain, but we just pray that you'd bring her back and that we will once again hear the drums as she's able to play them with a different knee. And so we just thank you for our praise team and pray your blessing upon them as well as all else that takes place here today. May you change lives and change hearts and draw men and women and boys and girls to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Responsive reading. I'll just, if you can stand, I invite you to stand because I'm going to be reading from Isaiah. God's word, we always like to be reverent, and we show that by standing. We had to do that when the judge came in at the immigration court. Everyone had to stand. Interesting. But here it says in Isaiah 55, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters.
And you who have no money, come and buy and eat.
Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost.
Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy?
Listen to me and eat what is good. And your soul will delight in the richest affair.
Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord.
As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways,
and my thoughts than your thoughts.
You may be seated.
There's a place where mercy reigns
and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide,
where all the love I've ever found
comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus.
There's a place
where sin and shame are powerless, where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness,
where
all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down.
At
the cross, I surrender.
You to stand once again as we hear God's word today. It's just a short portion of scripture, Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 through 19. Matthew 20, verses 17 through 19. Now, as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside and said to them, "We're going up to Jerusalem." Jerusalem is up on a high hill. Well, kind of high. You wouldn't notice it'd be up that high, but it's going up. to where Jerusalem is. And the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus was always open and honest with his disciples, informing them and telling them of things that were going to happen to him. And other times he didn't say anything, and they had no idea what he was going to do when it came to healing the sick and casting out demons, feeding people, telling people about living water when they thirst, that it's free by faith as they believe in him as their Savior. Lord, may we today come. Come as beggars in need of what only you can give. It comes from nowhere else. You forgive our sins, and you give us eternal life. May we serve you for the great things that you do for us each and every day. Be with us now, Lord, as we hear your word, and I pray that you help me to preach it in a way, Lord, that is understood, it is clear, that no one can leave today saying they haven't heard the good news of Jesus Christ. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The short version of this message is this. In Matthew, he gives us the third time Jesus says this to his disciples. How many times do you need to repeat things to people? Notice the disciples didn't say, huh, what? It was always at a different place where he told them what was going to happen to him. The first time was in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, and we talked about that. We saw that. It was right after Peter confessed that Jesus was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. He's the Christ. And then shortly after that, Jesus tells them what's going to happen to him, and it's Peter who takes him to the side and goes like, Lord, that's not going to happen to you. I'll prevent that. That's just not going to take place. And what did Jesus say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. I came to do what God has asked me to do, and don't get in the way. The second time he mentions this is in the area of at the Sea of Galilee, Matthew 17, 22. And he tells them that he's going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life. And then it says that the disciples were filled with grief. They knew he was talking about himself, and they were filled with grief. Some of you know what grief is. Some of you know what it's like to have to say goodbye to someone whom you really love, and you don't want them to leave you. But at this particular time, in today's text, Matthew chapter 20, verses 18 through 19, it's more specific in what he says to him the third time. He says he is going to be betrayed into the hands, let me just read it here. We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man, which is referring to himself, Son of Man is also a messianic term. It means the anointed one. It means the Christ. It needs the Messiah terminology. He will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. So that's more specific in what's going to happen in Jerusalem. And then on the third day, he will be raised to life. He always puts that in every time, what's going to happen on the third day. That's also an important number to remember, three, the third day. Three times he says this to his disciples. Matthew wasn't always Matthew. His real name was Levi. He was a tax collector, and he had his name changed to Matthew, one of Jesus' followers, one of his disciples, who's writing the book of Matthew. Tragedy and triumph ahead is really, put it in a nutshell, what Jesus is saying to his disciples. There's going to be things that are going to happen that are going to blow your mind. Things that you will not like. Things that will make you want to run away and stay at a distance. Things that are too hard to imagine and too hard to believe, that you will not want to believe what you are seeing or what you're hearing. Jesus is talking about himself. But he doesn't leave them with the tragedy part. He always ends it with hope. There is going to be triumph in the end. You might have to wait for it. You've got to wait those 3 days. And he's the only one that I'm aware of, or whoever says throughout history, of when he will come back to life after he's dead, after he's died, after he's been murdered. There may have been people who have said that throughout history somewhere along the way, and they're still in their grave. But Jesus is the only one, it's the only grave that is empty. It's open. That should tell you that he truly is who he said he was and is, the Savior of the world. Some of you are aware of the nonprofit group called Tunnel to Towers. Have you heard about them? How can you not? They're on all the time. But we find with Tunnel to Towers, as well as like Wounded Warriors is another one, are organizations that deal with tragedy every day. They hear about someone, or maybe they get an application or a letter or whatever it is from someone who's gone through some very difficult times, but it's probably because someone that they know of in the family has been severely injured or has died. It can be a soldier who is an amputee from a roadside bomb. It can be a firefighter that lost his life and going into harm's way, as we think of 9/11, the World Trade Center, firemen that went into that building as it was on fire at the top, and it ended up imploding and killed 3,000, over 3,000 people have died because of that. And many have entered into the service because of what they saw take place. Some of you here today have no idea what 9/11 was like. Where were you when you saw the towers get hit by the planes? Where were you when you heard or saw the towers implode and come crashing straight down? Some of you weren't even born yet. But it was a terrible thing to watch. It made you just kind of go like, you gotta be kidding me, if you watch it on TV. When my wife called me on that day, she said, did you see the plane that ran into one of the Twin Towers in New York? And I'm thinking of a little plane like Benny Struck flies. I'm going like, yeah, it's no big deal. It happens every now and then, but can't believe that would happen. But then you saw it was a big jet airliner, passenger airliner. And not one that hits, but two come in. Another one goes after the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., and they believe that the one that crashed in Pennsylvania was headed to the White House, but it never made it there because the people on board prevented that with their lives. So think of all the phone calls that were given that day to family members who said, "I can't believe this has happened." Or maybe they knew. Maybe they knew what had taken place. But tragedy to triumph. And we have a lot of these families that Tunnel to Towers helps. And it's through the generosity of people. So we don't always see what these people have gone through. We always see what, you know, getting the new house or they get their mortgage paid for. You know, those kinds of things are very helpful. But we don't see what they went through, those that had survived or lost a limb, to get to that point to receive those kinds of things. Their lives have been drastically changed because of their injuries or because of their loss. And so we thank people who are generous in that way of helping those who they don't even know in their time of pain. And probably something that they think about, have dreams about every day. I remember talking with a widow from a small town in North Dakota whose husband was in World War II. And he'd lost a leg. And she said, you know, it's been a terrible thing to live with him ever since they got married, because at nighttime he would have the dreams that would come back as he was in whatever battle it was where he lost his leg and what he went through. And that would be relived, I can say, every week for sure. But she said it was just, she had no idea what she would have to live with by being married to him. But tragedy strikes, doesn't it? Jesus says this for the third time to his disciples, and it, you know, he answers the who, what, and when. Well, I shouldn't say when, the who, what, where. Who are the chief priests, the teachers of the law, that will condemn Jesus to die? The Sanhedrin, the Jewish religious leaders. And to the disciples, this would be something like, no way, these people are for us. They would never do anything like that. They appreciate life. They would do everything they can to protect life. Jesus says, where? Answers the question, where? It's going to happen in Jerusalem. And then the what? This is kind of the kicker. He's talking about that he is going to be betrayed, which reminds us of Judas Iscariot. He's going to be betrayed by one of his very own disciples, as well as his own people, the Jews, who are the religious leaders. And then he's going to be turned over to the Roman authorities, because it's only Romans who can have the capital punishment is crucifixion. Jews could not do that. Jews could only do stoning for their capital punishment. Romans, Gentiles, crucified, and it was a terrible, terrible death. That's why we hear the mention of Pontius Pilate when we say the Apostles' Creed. He's included in that. So Jesus is not only betrayed by his own disciple, one of his own disciples. He knew this. He doesn't go into something, he's shocked. He kind of knows what's going to happen. but then also by his own people, the religious leaders. And he surely was mocked by the soldiers and by the people. And he did die on the cross. Keep in mind why he did it. He did it for you and me. He loved us so much, this is the only way we could be forgiven of our sins and to have eternal life. And he went voluntarily to his death in a very short amount of time to be delivered into the hands of the Romans and to die on the cross. But Jesus always said that even though this is going to happen, there's going to be hope. Tragedy will happen. It will come. But so will the resurrection. And those who believe in the resurrection know that they will have life as well. How many of you remember the story of Goldilocks and the, how many bears? Three bears, yeah. And she went to the house and she found what there? Three beds. Huh? Porridge? You're in the wrong story. Or is there porridge? Or maybe she had porridge. And then she went, maybe I got the wrong story. Okay, just throw that one out. Throw that one out. I didn't hear it enough. Gracie, you can tell me the story after church so I get it right, okay? Okay, well, okay, Goldilocks, let's get rid of Goldilocks. Okay, then there was the, how many pigs? And they had porridge, right? No, the three little pigs did not have porridge, but the three little pigs each had to build a house, right? Okay, and one was built out of straw. I got that right, right? And the next one was built out of sticks. And then the third one was built out of, okay, three pigs, three houses, three bears, Goldilocks. I just want three. There's another number that comes because of three that usually takes place too. Do you know what that is? Death. I don't know if you've noticed that here. When there's one person who dies, there seems to be two more. I think Charlie and I, we mentioned that a number of times, didn't we? And we always say, well, who's going to be the next one? And we just don't know. But it seems to come in threes. Jesus tells his disciples three times what's going to happen to him in Jerusalem. They did not believe it. How many times have you heard that Jesus went to the cross to die for your sins? Bet it's been more than three. How many times have you heard that Jesus rose from the dead? I bet it's been more than three. How many times have you heard about Jesus laying down his life for you? And you've never done anything about that. You've never come to believe by faith that he did that for you. After hearing it so many times. Don't you think it's about time for you to make that a commitment? If you're here today, if you're listening to this, Don't you think it's about time that you believe in Jesus as your Savior? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, forgive us for hardening our hearts. It seems like we have no problem in doing that when it comes to the things that you teach us and that you say to us in your word. I'm thankful, Lord, for everyone that's here. But Lord, how many times do we say we're going to church, but it never really makes much of a difference in our lives? And yet, Lord, I know that there are some who do come, that it's because of Jesus and what he's done for them. It's the reason why they come, and they just are hungry and they're thirsty. They want to hear more. They want to be taught more from your word. Not every church teaches this. Today, we can be thankful that we do hear. And so, Lord, we come to you today probably to tighten the screws a little bit more on those who have been putting this off. Because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And if today is one of those days where you need to kind of back someone into a corner to get them to think about how they've been living their life, where you are at in their lives along the way. Are they running away from him? Have you once upon a time gave your heart to Jesus, but you have drifted away since then? Well, today is that day, Lord, where we make it happen, where we come back, where we repent. We say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin and my stubbornness and everything else that goes with this. I'm tired of playing games. Today, I want you to be my Savior. Forgive me, Lord, for my sin. Come into my heart. Help me to live for you, because it's getting harder and harder every day. Whoever would have thought we'd be dealing with a lot of the troubles in this world that we hear about today? But they're here. Sin will always grow and become worse. It is never our friend. Thank you that Jesus was that perfect sacrifice who died on the cross, not just for certain people, but for everyone. For everyone. No one can say they've done too much wrong in their lives or they've sinned too much that God would never, ever accept them or take them to heaven. God will forgive anyone and everyone. Everyone who goes to heaven is someone that can say, praise you, Jesus, you forgave me of my sin. And sometimes that can be a hard thing to admit. You give grace to the humble. The proud is not something you like. So humble us. May we come to you by faith today, that you are the Savior of the world and we need you every day. Even when we slip and fall, we thank you that we have you to go to. So may we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Before we stand to recite the Apostles' Creed, I'm going to tell you a little story. It's true. I asked my mom, hopefully she's not listening, just turn off the Zoom so she can't hear this there. But I asked my mom here not too long ago, why didn't we get together with her side, my grandma's side of the family? We don't know who our cousins are or who they are. And she told me a story that grandma, when she was a little girl, her mom died when she was like, I'll just say 4 or 5 years old. And she had two other sisters. Her dad remarried the babysitter who watched his kids because his wife had died. And somewhere along the way, the stepmom didn't like my grandma. And so as a young girl, she would send her down to the barn to stay all day, not come into the house until supper time when her dad came back. And so she did that, and then she would tell her dad what had happened to her that day, how this her stepmom treated her and made her go to the barn and stay there all day, and she couldn't come in, da-da-da, yada-yada-yada. Long story short, he believed his wife, and he thought she was lying. And so he would take the belt and spank her. So she then knew that she could not tell her dad anything. This is when she's just a little girl. She ended up marrying my grandpa, I don't know what age, it was young age probably at that time, because they were immigrants from Russia. And as my mom said, is that when the stepmother was dying in bed, she asked for my grandma to come to her room. And she came, and this her stepmom said, I want you to forgive me for how mean I was to you as you were just a little girl and as you were growing up. And you know what my grandma said? Never. I will never forgive you. Wow. I didn't expect that. I will never forgive you for what you did, how you treated me. And she left the room, and her mother died. That's how hard our hearts can be. That's how hard they can become. Jesus came for those kinds of hearts. Jesus died on the cross for those kinds of unforgiving people who went through a lot of stuff. So I just say that because I think of that very often, especially when we say in the Lord's Prayer, forgive those who trespass against us. Wow, it's a powerful statement. Anyway, please stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together this morning. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Did you see it? Did you remember that one part it says, and the forgiveness of sin? We need to be forgiving people. And yes, I know it can be very hard. It can be very hard. But it's not by our strength that we can forgive. It's by the Lord's strength that he will help us to be a forgiving person. May the Lord look upon you, and may he smile upon you and bring you his comfort, bring you his grace. May the Lord bless you, even when you don't deserve it. But he blesses us time and time again. May we thank him for what he's done for us. Amen.
Have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Sounded forth the trumpet that shall never sound retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before the judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. He adored me. Serve the Lord.